Elaine F., welcome back to The Signal.
Always a treat.
Last time we talked about painted screens, but this time you brought all kinds of props and things, including this beautiful book, which is The Painted Screens of Baltimore, An Urban Folk Art Revealed, a definitive volume on painted screens in Baltimore. And it's beautiful.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I thought I knew something about painted screens. I know nothing. I knew nothing until I saw this book, really. It's fascinating.
And little did I know how much I knew until I started writing it. No, it's in truth. In fact, my husband, who's like been surrounded by me and screens for, you know, decades, he still sits there in amazement saying, I can't believe that it all was to a single end, that there's actually a story and that it makes a whole. You know, he says this is really the case where the whole is larger than the sum of its parts. And the parts were just sort of everywhere in my life. And so to be able to essentially culminate your life's work in a volume that says it all, there's nothing held back. It was just a true gift. And I couldn't be more grateful to the University Press of Mississippi for realizing that this was an incredibly important book, and by throwing resources at it, including the Mellon Foundation's generous funding, to make it an absolutely gorgeous book. Kristen Spillman designed it. She is a genius. And, you know, you have a vision and you have knowledge, and you've been thinking about this thing only for, you know, like 40 years. And to have someone who can take it to the next step and more beautifully than you could ever even imagine is just a great, you know, way to go out with this. I call it my swan song.
Even the cover is a clever play on the whole concept of the you see out, no one sees in, which people should discover for themselves, because that's a really fun thing when you find it.
Don't tell.
But I think one of the things that's most striking is it's one thing to see a painted screen and to look at it and say, oh, what a clever idea, what a strange thing. But seeing them close together, seeing a grouping together, and seeing pictures of what a street actually looked like, the impact of the screens and the artwork is just magnified. Again, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. It's really fascinating to look at in that context, and to put them in context and think about them really being on the street. It's really a magical effect.
Yeah, well, particularly when you realize that if you lived in East Baltimore, and I say East Baltimore because that was really kind of the hub, that was the center, that was where the concentration was absolutely at its greatest, you know, hundreds of thousands of screens in their heyday in the 50s and 60s. You walk down the street, you saw these things, you walked right by, you saw these things, marble steps, you walked right by, you saw these transoms, stained glass, you walked right by. They just were part of row house living. They were not anything above and beyond, you know, kind of your daily streetscape. And so to be able to single them out and have people look at them and say, wow, that's really beautiful, when in fact they were never really noticed. And I think one of the most fun was assembling an entire wall of red bungalow painted screens.
Yeah.
And my centerfold in the book, of course, allowing people from forever to look at a screen, look at their own screens, look at their grandmother's screens, and say, gee, I wonder who painted that. And they can figure it out for themselves. So, you know, from going from I barely recognize them because they're always there to they don't all look alike, and let's figure it out and see what person is at the kind of, you know, at the end or the beginning of this process.
Well, and this book also comes out, I was interested to note, that it's 100 years since that first Octavec screen painting arrived with great fanfare on the streets of East Baltimore. So 100 years of a tradition, that's a long time for people to be practicing and still practicing a folk art.
Yeah, it says a lot. Well, one, it is let's define what we're looking at. You know, a folk art is very simply something that is produced, designed, and consumed within a single community for use. So the relationship between the sidewalk and the front window or front door has not ever changed and will never change in a Baltimore row house. You know, you're always going to be shoulder to window. And so having that privacy and that added burst of color is something that is timeless.
But I think one of the things that made painted screens endure and makes them endure to this day is It's an art form, but it also has the practical side. It's one thing to look at a picture of row houses just one after another with the marble steps and the doors right next to each other. But to live that way is a very different concept in personal space and privacy. So something that would be an art form that also had a practical use, it makes sense that it's still around.
Sure. You still want to use that front room. You still want to maximize light, and you still want to be there and not be seen by the people walking by. And I'll tell you, we want very much to bring the screens back to East Baltimore's neighborhoods if people want them. But we would, you know, we're looking forward to working with the new school, and we've already had a residency in the new Baltimore Design School, like a 10-day residency that was taught by John Yampieri, who's like really a modernist, and he works in very large scale. And he's an amazingly patient and giving teacher, and we're hoping that we can, you know, keep bringing the screens back through schools and community centers and back in the very communities where it started.
Yeah. Well, and that's always been part of it, too. The Octavec School, the painting school, his famous art school, was a place where that tradition was passed on to local kids and local people who wanted to practice this art form. And, of course, Johnny Eck being one of the famous, more well-known names in screen painting. But there's a quote. He has a quote in the book that I thought is so funny about when people try to take ownership of things. Everybody claims, although I'm not mentioning any names, that they invented it. Oh, my father invented it. My mother invented it. Grandma Moses invented it. Not so.
And I love it. Every time I would interview one of these old timers, they would always tell me that they invented it. And I would say, oh, when did you invent it? You know, when did you start painting? They say, oh, 1930. And I'd say, oh, okay. You know, knowing that Mr. Octavec had been there, you know, 20 years earlier. But frankly, one of the things I think was exciting about the book is that we clearly show that this same idea has been invented and reinvented. And sadly, I didn't take it back before 1726. But you see how, you know, they were painted in London in the 1720s. And
see, I had no idea about that.
How'd you like the one from Sweden? I mean, the fact that we have these personal screens that could be moved on little feet from window to window and were painted by this guy who we know. He worked for the wire company in 1835. Remarkable. One, that we know this much about this one screen, but also that this artist worked as a painter on the staff of a wire company, as was true all over the world, and certainly America. So here's this 19th century tradition that then comes full-blown to America, Victorian America, you know, excess, bring it on, you know, paint my screens, you know, put my stained glass, get my windows, you know, triple hung with who knows what, everything you could possibly put on a window. And there was that screen preceding Mr. Octavec's invention, and I put that in quotes, in 1913.
Well, and the book has so many great images. It's just...
What's your favorite?
I love the look of the East Baltimore ones, but some of the... There's a screen in a house in Vermont, and it's just gorgeous. I really, really liked...
Yeah, I cried when we packed it up and had to send it back. But the good news is the house in Vermont... We borrowed screens from two locations, one in upstate New York, Aurora, New York, the bank, and one from the Justin Morrow House in Vermont, all of which are, you know, well documented in the book. And they're going back, right back on those windows where they've always been, where they've been since the 1850s and 60s.
And I did notice that many, many, many of the objects and screens featured in the book seem to belong to the writer's collection.
And the Paint and Screen Society. Well, let's face it. First of all, I started seeing screens in the 70s and collecting them. But I wanted, for one thing, I could afford them. As a folk art collector, I was getting to a point where there wasn't much I could afford. But also, when we started the Paint and Screen Society in 1985, we became a repository and people donated. And it was kind of wonderful because it meant screens that were going to be tossed,
right,
screens that were going to, you know, vanish, were in fact secured and saved. And it's really happening. And I think people realize that, you know, we don't have a lot that just screams Baltimore, or it can whisper Baltimore. But the painted screens, you know, our marble steps, those wonderful stained glass transom, you know, the remains of the Arabing tradition. These are some of the great Baltimore traditions that for all intents and purposes, might last forever. And people are probably always going to need screens.
It's amazing. It's a beautiful book. And thanks for all your work preserving this folk art. And thanks for the book. And thanks for coming in to talk about it
today.
Well,
always a pleasure. Thank you. And I can't wait to see what we're going to talk about the next 8 years.
Elaine F.'s new book is The Painted Screens of Baltimore, An Urban Folk Art Revealed. You can meet the author and some of the city's best screen painters at the Art to Dine For Screen Painters Reunion on Saturday, October 18th. Signed copies of the book will also be available, and you can find more information at creativealliance.org. For The Signal, I'm Lisa Morgan.